From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 12 years ago, when I was covering the Illinois General Assembly for public radio stations across Illinois, I shared an office with my bureau chief, Amanda Vinicky, and right next door to us was the Sun-Times Bureau, where Dave McKinney worked. And one of my favorite things about that time was getting to talk politics with some of the smartest and most thoughtful reporters in Illinois. Well, today we're getting that gang back together to talk about the biggest stories in Illinois government and politics this year. We've all moved on since then. Amanda Vinicky is now a correspondent and host of the Week in Review for Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW. And Dave McKinney covers politics for WBEZ Public Radio in Chicago. Dave, Amanda, happy holidays. Welcome back to the show to both of you.
It's a great reunion.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for having me.
So, Dave, I'm going to start with you because you've been covering what I personally think is the biggest story in Illinois government this year, and that is the corruption trial of former House Speaker Michael Madigan. This has been a significant week in a long trial. What's the latest there before we take a step back and sort of reflect on what it all means?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, the prosecution rested this week, and I mean, this all began back in early October. And, you know, you add it all up, and I mean, we've seen about 50 witnesses, and we've heard about 190 plus secret FBI recordings, and prosecutors tried to really kind of connect the dots. And I went back and I kind of was reviewing the, you know, the opening statements that the prosecution made, that they said this was going to be a case about bribery, not the kind where, you know, we were talking about envelopes stuffed full of cash, but, you know, a more sophisticated kind of bribery. And that's what they've attempted to do, to show how Madigan and you know, with help with his co-defendant, Mike McLean, how they put a bunch of loyalists in you know, no work jobs with AT&T and ComEd at a time when both companies were trying to get legislation passed, and how allegedly Madigan tried to illegally solicit work for his law firm from developers in Chicago. And so it's been, you know, quite a wild ride, and watching all of that evidence be put out in front of people. And this week, you know, once they rested on Wednesday, the defense began presenting its case, and we know so far that McLean, the former lobbyist from Quincy, does not plan to testify in his own defense. Madigan has not signaled what his plans are, but I think, you know, we really are kind of at a crossroads here in this trial, where it feels like we're you know, this all could begin happening very quickly, and this could be in the jury's hands in pretty short order.
Amanda, you covered Madigan for, well, your entire career reporting on state government, which, like me, now goes back almost two decades. What has most surprised you in this trial?
I mean, for starters, I think what's remarkable is just how powerful he once was and how now diminutive a figure he is in Illinois politics. He still has a campaign fund, a lot of it being used on attorneys to pay for his defense. But, I mean, he was Illinois politics, and how quickly things have moved on from Madigan. That to me is partially most astonishing. I guess also surprising, and this came out in part during the earlier trial regarding ComEd executives, which McLean is among those who was found guilty in those proceedings, but how brazen some of the asks were, and how sort of silly the attempts to guard those it's like they were brazen about asking and demanding, in terms of McLean saying, we want this person hired, but almost silly and childish in attempts to hide it by calling people, you know, our friend or the person who asked. You know, you go through these emails and Madigan's name might not be cited, but it's obvious who everybody is talking about. So you sort of wonder, well, if you didn't think you were doing anything wrong, why did you try to hide these things? But if you did think you were doing something wrong, why were some of the why was McLean in particular knowing to work with Madigan, knowing that he preferred for things to be very careful? Why was he so not careful in what
who gave him an email account? Yes. is one of my questions. Yes, and like you're saying, not working too much above the level of sophistication of O.K. Amesnay, I guess is how you'd say that.
It's been a while since I tried Pig Latin, but that would have even been a better attempt.
Dave, one thing that struck me is some of the video footage we've seen from, Danny Solis, the former Chicago alderman who wore a wire and a video camera on the speaker and even dropped that magical legal phrase, quid pro quo, in an interaction. And I was stunned that that didn't set off red flashing lights in front of the former speaker's eyes at that moment. How did you react to that? And maybe just what has stood out to you from this trial? Because you've covered the speaker even longer than Amanda and I have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the crazy thing. I mean, we all kind of joked about how at times he was the speaker who wouldn't speak, you know, because he was so mysterious in ways, you know, you never really kind of knew what was happening inside the brain trust there in the third floor in the Capitol where his offices are. And it was such a secretive operation, but here, you know, prosecutors through, you know, years of building this case, they've really pulled the curtain back. And Amanda's right. It's like, you know, some of these alleged schemes just, you know, they make your head spin. I mean, Solis, you know, he's the former 25th Ward alderman. He represented a part of Chicago that, you know, is booming now, you know, the West Loop area, for example, in Chinatown. And he held this position as the chair of the city zoning committee. So that put him in a really prominent place where developers had to, you know, seek his blessings before they could put up any kind of building cranes and be building these high rises and stuff. And for Madigan, that was, you know, he saw business opportunities there. And so these videos of the two of them, where they're, you know, Madigan is attempting to, you know, use Solis to leverage introductions with some of these developers. You know, we see a whole side of Madigan in some of these conversations that, you know, we'd never seen before. I mean, of course, there's the businessman where he's talking about how, you know, he telling these developers there's no better law firm in Chicago to do property tax appeals. But you also heard kind of some personal moments where, you know, Madigan, one of the clips that kind of stood out to my ear was it was from 2018, and Solis in one of, you know, kind of these personal moments on these tapes talked about how surprised he was that Madigan's daughter, Lisa, didn't seek a fifth term as attorney general. And Madigan, you know, said, well, you know, I always told her that the only thing that really mattered was, you know, doing a good job of raising your kids. And it just, it caught my ear because it was almost as if he was sort of channeling, you know, his mentor, Richard J. Daley, who had that famous quip that showed up in his obituary in the mid 70s, you know, about if I can't help my son, who can I help, you know, essentially. And so, you know, we saw that, you know, there was another, you know, on that theme. I mean, there was a moment where, you know, another video of Solis and Madigan where, you know, the feds had asked Solis to request Madigan's help in lining up an appointment under the Pritzker administration to a high paying border commission. And so Solis makes the ask to be on the State Commerce Commission or the Labor Relations Board. And Madigan says, sure, I'll see what I can do. And then Solis says, is there anything more I can do for you? And at that point, kind of along this theme of helping your family, Madigan says, yeah, there's one more thing. You know, this not-for-profit you know about, can you ask them to call my son Andrew back? They're, you know, he's trying to get them to buy insurance because he worked for an insurance brokerage. And they won't return his phone call, but can you call him and ask? And so, you know, you just saw these glimpses inside. Madigan is a father, Madigan is a businessman, and Madigan is somebody that was doing everything he could, seemingly, to help his political friends.
Well, and also, Madigan letting his guard down some, where in another, actually, I believe it was on one of the tapes that you already referenced, Dave, in another video, he talks about the direction of his party in a way that was far more frank than we ever saw him speak about. He, of course, was not just the long-term Speaker of the House, but he was head of the Democratic Party of Illinois. And we've watched as there has been these questions over the more progressive and liberal wing versus the moderate one. And he expressed sort of skepticism with the progressives and where Democrats were going in a way that we never saw him reflect about publicly. And so it was eye-opening, again, to me, for somebody who was known to be guarded, how he let that go away in some of these conversations, be it because that was posturing as he was trying to, you know, stay on Solis's good side and he was trying to get Solis's help in aiding his business, or whether that's just the more Madigan, relaxed individual that you have as leader of his party that he didn't want to be known to the media. And then I'll add briefly, too, in terms of helping his children, we don't know exactly what all played out there. Lisa Madigan, since her retirement from politics, has largely stayed out of the public eye. But part of the whole rub was that had he stepped down, first of all, he would never have been in this position of being on trial. But there's very much a belief that she had wanted to make a run for governor for higher office. But because he remained the speaker and would not leave that perch, she didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah, she didn't think it would be appropriate, basically, is some of the reporting that's been out there. Well, we've only got about 5 minutes left. I'll remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Amanda Vinicky and Dave McKinney. Amanda is the Week in Review host at Chicago Tonight on WTTW, PBS station in Chicago. Dave McKinney's a political reporter, Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ. I don't care if we spend all our time on Madigan today, because I do think it is the story of the year. So in the time we have remaining, maybe we can spin this forward a little bit. I know we don't know yet what the outcome of this trial is going to be, whether the federal government can prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury of Madigan's peers and Mike McLean's peers, whether or not they were corrupt. But I want to think of this in the context of that great quote from Michael Kinsley about government, that the scandal is not what's illegal, the scandal is what's legal. And Dave, I wonder how you think about that. Is this going to change government in some way, and the idea of outside employment and how that relates to what people do while in office?
You know, I don't know. I mean, there's a psychology. I remember a long time ago, early in my career, I covered a string of bank robberies up in the Chicago suburbs. And I remember an FBI guy telling me that, you know, the thing with these bank robbers, they always think they're smarter than the last guy who got caught. And it's almost sort of like that with politicians too, where, you know, they're very, they watch these major ethics scandals erupt. And then they're often very slow to police themselves or do so in a meaningful way. Because, like, you know, for example, you know, again, I'm not advocating anything, but, you know, as Amanda pointed out early, or I think she, you know, I think she pointed this out, but, you know, Madigan's been using his campaign fund to pay his legal defenses. And that's a great luxury to have. But, you know, there have been attempts by Republicans in the legislature to curtail that practice. And, you know, you can imagine if these defendants were, and many of them have to pay the cost of their lawyers, their criminal defense lawyers, that might serve as a powerful incentive or disincentive from bad behavior. And yet, you know, these types of bills don't ever go anywhere. And you could say that on a larger scale with a lot of the ethics reforms that have happened all the way back to, you know, George Ryan and some of the court cases that were going on way back then. So I just think that that's kind of the thing. But I will tell you, one of the things about the Dirksen Federal Courthouse, and I say this as having, you know, I covered Rod Blagojevich's one of his trials and was there for a little bit for some of the Ryan stuff. That building has a way of humbling even the most powerful people. And one of the striking things every single day, it seems like, in covering this trial is, you know, we would never see Madigan except in these very carefully scripted moments at the Capitol when he was speaker. But there he is sitting with the rest of the masses in the second floor cafeteria at a table. Usually he's got, you know, Lisa, his daughter, with him, or a family member or two. But it's such a striking difference from what we've all been accustomed in seeing Madigan. He just, there he is. He's kind of this humbled looking figure that, you know, is sort of with everyone else.
Amanda, just about a minute and a half. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brian, I don't know that we have really seen a whole lot of actual change in Springfield. I mean, you still do have some leaders. Senate President Don Harmon stepped away from his law firm when he got that title, but Speaker Welch, you know, he's not. He's still a practicing attorney, different sort of attorney, not necessarily getting property tax work, but I think there is still a certain degree of that culture that remains, and part of lobbying is relationship building. I mean, it's the very argument that the prosecution is trying to make, that the leaders are still very powerful. There have been no systemic changes that, for example, allow committee ships to be distributed based on somebody's decisions besides that of the leader, or finances that, you know, go out. I mean, it is still a very leader-centric system in the General Assembly, which is part of how Madigan was allowed to amass all of the ability that he had to sort of make those asks, whether it was illegal or not. And so I think that hasn't changed. I do think perhaps what has changed is if I were to be a lobbyist, watching this trial play out and watching what has happened to the ComEd and AT&T executives, I would be a lot more careful in how I handle any sort of request. And I do think that that's something that has sort of permeated the culture a little bit more.
Well, we will see what happens with this trial in the new year. Amanda Vinicky of Chicago Tonight on WTTW, Dave McKinney with WBEZ. Thanks so much for being with us. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thanks, Brian.
More to come after a short break. We're going to be turning to our Washington correspondent for an update on the chaos trying to fund the government. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.